Hello, I'm Connie Rotella, and welcome to our Triple Threat podcast. I'm super excited to begin this journey with all of you. Are you ready to put your best foot forward and show up with confidence? This tool is here to help you evolve into the artist you are meant to be. Just always remember to believe, become, and be ready. Add a new skill set or refine what you already know. So here we go. My special guest today is the wonderful Isabelle Giroux. I loved what she said on social media a few weeks ago about having a plan A and plan B. Like many people get asked that question, what's your plan B if plan A doesn't work? She's a wonderful actress. She actually graduated from AMDA in Los Angeles, but she lives here in Quebec. She works here in Quebec. Here we go. Let's begin the talk, Isabelle. How are you?
Hi, Connie. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Welcome to Industry Talk.
Thank you.
I love the tone of voice. You're so cute. Okay, what are we going to say now? What are we going to talk about?
Yeah.
This is such an open conversation and I want the real talk, you know, that's where I'm going to go for right now. When you posted and wrote that comment about your plan A and plan B, where did that come from? Like, obviously somewhere you felt that you had to share it with people on social media.
One of the first lessons I learned at AMDA in school, if you have a plan B, go do your plan B because plan A is so difficult. It's so difficult to reach. It's an everyday difficult, actually. And you know how it is. Sometimes like you work a lot and then all of a sudden there's no phone calls for like 3 months. And if you don't have something stable behind, then you're just kind of lost. And it can be difficult mentally and emotionally as well. And so when it's time to do your demo reel, you're just like, so, okay, now I want new work. I want new opportunities. So let's like remind the people that I have a plan A and that's what I want to do.
Oh, that's wonderful. So that was your statement. It's like, hi, yeah. I'm here. Don't forget me.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And how does that make you feel when, you know, those 3 months go by and you didn't get work? And you're still sticking to your plan A. What creeps up in you to say, oh boy?
Financially, like,
yeah.
Like, okay. So if I want to do this year, if I want to buy a house, if I want to go travel for whatever reason, like, would I need to work? So how am I going to reach those objectives? What can I do? Do I want to do something else to be able to be sufficient financially, or do I want to stick to this? So what's the next step? So if I haven't been working for 3 months, that means that people are not thinking about me. So I need to remind them that I exist. So what can I do for that? Like, do I need to take a class in front of a casting director? Do I need to go and train because maybe there's something lacking? I did something in an audition and it wasn't just right. So, all of those things. So the demo reels, so the classes, so everything I can do, or just posting on social media saying, hey, look at this. I just did this. Oh, here, I'm on TV right now. I'm not working, but I'm on TV right now.
Those are great points because we have to know what you're doing. And how comfortable do you feel when you share this on social media?
Half comfortable. Like, you know, you don't want to look like you're desperate, but at the same time, you want to show people I have time.
Yeah.
Like, it's like in the middle of it. So I'm not really for people who really put their gut feelings all on the table. If like it's delicate. If you're saying that you're really sick or that you're not like at a good place mentally because you're not working, then it can get heavy and people are not going to be like, oh no, she's not feeling good, I'm going to hire her. Well, you're not going to hire her
because she's
down and you want somebody who's going to be up for your project, you know?
So that's it. That's what a lot of artists suffer. They have a hard time when they want to post and share. It's like, where do I draw the line?
Exactly.
Now, in past interviews with casting directors, if you do it professionally, and that is part of who you are, your personality, I know I am. I love to share people's work. I have a community. Yeah. For me, it's about a community. For me, it's always been about training. The foundation of any artist, for me, is always behind closed doors. Because the magic, when they're going to see you, they know what you've done.
So even if they don't see you for 3 months, you're still in a community of people that actually see you at work. So that's what my strong beliefs are. And it's been like this forever. And in LA, that's what they do. They're series regular and they're in class training all the time.
Exactly.
Like they know that they got a contract, but they don't know how long it's going to last. So let's always be active. Yeah. So that's one thing. It's like, if you share maybe your personal life, I know you want to share, but call a friend for your personal life, but keep it business and professional. Cause it's true that you can lose out on jobs if we feel you unstable, because what do we want to hire? We want to hire people that are ready, prepare, full of energy, or whatever they need for the project in hand. Thank you for sharing that, because not everybody is ready to open up sometimes because we feel so like, what are they going to think of me? And that brings me to that question. Do you suffer from that? Do you suffer from like, what are people going to think of me when I go out in public, or when you're posting on social media, or when we get to see you at work on TV? How do you feel when you present yourself out there to the industry?
Sometimes it can be hard, you know, like you have to really trust in yourself. And if you're not a social butterfly, then you have to kind of make yourself be one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to push yourself in the events, in social media as well, like commenting on other people's work to remind them that you exist. Yes.
It's called showing up, right?
It's called showing up. Yes. And it's also, it can also be really good energy, because if you do that, then people will tend to do that with you as well. And when you go out to event, if you push yourself to talking to new people, at least one new person at every event that you go, then people are going to be like more friendly to you the next time. And, you know, like that's how it goes. I kind of hate it sometimes. And sometimes I choose it. Like if it's a day that I'm not feeling well, then I'm just going to stay home. I'm just not going to go. Or sometimes I'll just be like, well, you know, you're not feeling well, so acknowledge that and then go. And if after an hour you're done, then you're done. And it's okay. I feel like it's okay.
Yeah. And people will understand that if you build right connections and have really straight talks, it's fine. The artist itself is always pushed to go places where it's like so scary and so exciting. And it's like, it's highs and lows. Have you stuck to your plan A from when you graduated at EMDA?
Yes, I have.
And are you proud of that?
I am proud of that. There's been times since then that I've been wondering, could I go study in something else in another field? But it never gets there. Like I can't imagine myself doing something else.
And what's the best thing you love about this industry or about acting?
Oh my God. The freedom. The freedom of performing, of being somebody else, well, it's freedom, but it's kind of a tricky freedom because you have to work so much for it.
Yes.
When you get to do it and you've done your work, it's so
liberating.
Yeah, exactly. If you know your lines, if you've prepared enough your character and you get on set, then it's so fun to be working with other actors, to be like putting it out there that you know how to do something that other people don't know, you know, like to just explore sentiments, to explore vulnerability. That are not yours, right?
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Being a storyteller and really touch an audience. And you've done screen work, but you also have done stage work because you are a singer too. So is there one that you prefer over the other, or is it all equal to you?
I like film better. I love doing stage. I love it. It just sometimes it gets really hard on your body because you work at night, and then I usually get the FOMO. So like I'll stay up really late, and then the next morning you don't wake up, and then your days become like really short, and then you work at night, and it's a weird schedule for me.
Right.
But I really enjoy stage. I love the energy on stage and the feedback, the direct feedback from the audience as well. Love it.
Because you've done a few musicals. Can you talk to us about one of your favorite memories on stage?
I like the bonding in a troupe. Like I like the bonding between actors when you do a show for so long. Like usually you rehearse for maybe 2-3 months and then you do the show for, I don't know, maybe 30 shows or more, depending on what it is. And it's just like doing that same thing over and over again. Like you get those little cues and those little jokes in between you, and like you know where you're at in the show, and it's like you do that little wink, and I don't know, I just love that.
Let me guess, which musical are we referring to? I know you've done a few, but is it Grease? Well, which one are you referring to?
Well, Grease was such a, it felt like summer camp.
Yes, yes it did. And it looked like it. We loved it.
Yeah. We had so much fun. It was such a crazy group. But Big Bazaar was as well like a super group. Like we did the Francofolie for 10 shows and then we went all over Quebec to do a tour. So just traveling with the same people all the time is kind of an awesome feeling as well, an awesome experience.
When did you know this is what you wanted to do?
I think I knew from a really early age, but I didn't want to admit it to myself. I'm not from an artist family at all. Like I come from Trois-Rivières and my dad is a computer engineer. My mom is a stay-at-home mom. Nobody in my extended family is an artist as well. So it was really hard for me to tell my parents that's what I want to do.
Why was it hard?
Because it didn't feel like it was something accessible, or it felt like maybe it was a little bit pretentious to be like, I want to be an actor. I want to be a singer.
Right.
And I started singing in secondary too. Deuxième secondaire, just because my friends would play the guitar and then I started singing and they were like, oh, let's do this performance at school. And I was like, oh, okay. And let's try it. And then I started like that. And my mom would come to the shows. My dad wouldn't, just because my mom was really, really, really there anytime like I would do a sport or a show, right, or whatever. That's when it started. And then when the secondary phase was kind of ending and I needed to choose where I would go for Cégep, I was like, okay, well, maybe I want to go study music in Drummondville because the program is really good. And my father was like, wait, music? What?
Oh.
I was like, well, you've never came to my shows, but that's really what I want to do. I want to be a singer. I was like, well, you know, there's no future in that. Like, you're not going to make money. And the speech that you get all the time when you say you want to be an artist, if yeah, your family isn't like a family of artists. And then he was like, and you want to go to Drummondville, so you have to get an apartment. It's going to be complicated. You're going to spend a lot of money. Is that really what you want to do? And then I said, yes. And then after that, like he came to shows. And then that's when he realized that I had some kind of talent.
You're shy saying that. You have to acknowledge it. Yes, I had talent. And I'm proud to say I had talent.
Yeah.
Go for it. Go there. Go.
I know.
You work hard for it. And you work so hard for it that you should always acknowledge that you're speaking from the heart, you know? And
I know.
That's what a lot of people do. And I'm like, no, let's stop here. Repeat that sentence. You all should.
No, I had talent, but I was so shy with my dad at the time. And now, I mean, my dad is my biggest fan.
Aww,
he is. And he's so proud. And he's so proud of my path as well. Mm-hmm. I went to Drummondville. And then that's when I realized that I wasn't a singer. I was a performer. Because my best friend at Cégep de Drummondville, we were living together. We had all of our classes together. Everybody would tell her all the time, oh my God, your voice is amazing. And I was just like sitting next to her. I'm like, okay, cool. She has an amazing voice. So what do I have? And then people would start telling me, well, I really like the way you interpreted that song. Like it was so truthful, or it was so quirky. Like I really loved it. And so that's when I realized, okay, maybe it's not about my voice. It's more about my performance. So maybe I should explore acting a little bit more. But then I've never thought I would be in, well, I've never thought, no. I didn't admit to myself that I wanted to be an actress. Like, that sounded like even farther than playing music. Right. It's weird, but it was. And then that's when I started taking classes, clown classes, individual coaching, and then dance classes. And I wanted to get in theater schools in Quebec, but I tried 1 year to audition to L'École nationale de théâtre du Canada, conservatories, both Quebec and Montreal, LUCAM. And I never, like, I didn't get in, like, in any of those schools. So the next year I was like, okay, I'm going to do it again. And then I got depressed and I was like, okay, no, it's such a mountain. I don't want to do it again. And then I did a show, a dance show, because I was taking classes and there was a show, and it was in a high school, and I was walking in the hallway, and then all of a sudden I see that poster of AMDA, and I'm just like, wait, I've always felt like maybe there was something in LA, because I had been with my family and my dad has a friend over there, and my dad has always dreamed of, like, living in the States.
Wow. Okay.
And etc. And so I was like, maybe that would be an option for me if I didn't get in any schools in Quebec and I don't want to do the auditions anymore because I feel like it's so much to do. Maybe Los Angeles, why not?
Well, let's go big or go home, why not?
Exactly. And then I decided to go. I auditioned in Toronto because they were doing open calls in three cities around Canada, and then you could do self-tapes if you were really far or whatever. And then I got in and I was like, okay, maybe that's what I'm gonna do, but wow, it's gonna be really expensive. And my dad was scared of that. And my mom was like, you know, we'll figure a way out. So if that's what you wanna do, it's the time for you to do it. So I was 23 at the time when I left for LA. And she was like, you don't have a boyfriend. What's keeping you in Montreal? Like, what's keeping you in Quebec that you can't go to LA, like, pursue your dream? Right. I was like, you're right. I'm just going to go and we'll figure the money things out. It worked out. I really loved it. Yeah.
So you see, no schools in Quebec took you on.
No.
Los Angeles accepted you. You know when the universe has messages like that? Because you're a beautiful actress and you're living from your art. But in my head, just listening to you, I'm like, thank God LA took you, because what you learned there, you weren't necessarily going to learn here.
No, it's totally different. If you compare the English side to the French side here in Montreal, like, the acting is different. The mindset is different. So I was such a hippie artist before I went there, and I got there. I was like, oh, okay. So I'm a business. I'm a product.
Yes.
And I accepted that. It took me a long time. Like, at first I was like, no, I don't want to be that. I don't want to do commercial. And then I was like, no way. Commercial is really lucrative.
Yeah.
And it can be fun. It's a challenge to do the same lines all over and all over all day long. It's a really big challenge to renew yourself in the acting with one sentence or several sentences. Yeah.
Did you question yourself, what did I not have for Quebec to take me on?
Oh yeah, so many times. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you find your answer?
No.
You didn't find your answer, and it doesn't matter. But okay,
maybe I was just not ready. I think that might have been it, or maybe I was just not the right casting for that year specific groups, you know?
Yeah.
Because theater schools in Quebec tend to have some kind of a casting minding, like, at every beginning of, well, at every auditions every year, they're like, okay, this year we need this type of person, because that's what's going to be needed in the industry. You know, they think about that when they take in students.
Right. But you know what, that poster that you saw of AMDA and you stopping in front of that poster, that was definitely
a sign. Message.
Oh yeah. It was a sign.
Oh, yeah.
And you took it on and you went to LA.
Yeah.
And even if it was hard, or, you know, there's highs and lows and everything, you did your 3 years. Yep. And did you enjoy?
I did. It was hard because I was older than most students were. Most students were like 19, 20. Right. I was 23. I had done like all my stupid stuff and mistakes in Cégep. So I was like, I'm not here to drink alcohol and have parties. Like, right. I've been living in an apartment for several years. I've been drinking since, meh. Yeah. So that's not why I'm here. And it's so expensive too. I was like, I'm not going to mess with my studies. I'm going to just take every opportunity. And a lot of people were just, it was like the American teenager films where they have parties and like they skip classes, not all of them, but a lot of them. And I was like, wait, I need to rehearse this. And we're partners. So totally. Just be there, just show up. And it wasn't like all that bad, but there were days that were really difficult. So I learned a lot about myself, how to communicate, how to work with people that are not necessarily showing up as much as I am, because that can happen in the real world as well. Yes. Like sometimes you'll work with actors that are not serious. So how do you manage that? How do you work with that?
And it's sad to hear that, because here in Montreal, we seem to have a lot of lazy actors and we don't know why, because we have the resources. But you know what? I think it all falls down to how badly do you really want it? So exactly. It's not a question. I said lazy. I called you guys lazy for whoever you know, but it's maybe more to encourage you to step up to your A game if this is something you want to do. So sometimes you have to hear the honest talk, because or else you'll be sitting down and you're never going to see the signs, and you're just going to have pity on yourself when everybody else is doing the work. Well, just show up and give it your all. But side note here is that as soon as you finished AMDA, why did you come back?
I did stay in Los Angeles. I stayed for a year.
Okay.
I had an alumni visa, so I was there for a year after my studies, which like my studies were 2 years and then a year of work. So that's why I was there for 3 years. And I did get some good work and some good connections, but then I didn't have enough credits to apply for the O1 right away. I hadn't done enough work in Quebec in my field. Like right. I did do some gigs as a singer, but I didn't want to have a singer working visa in Los Angeles. I wanted to have an acting. I came back to Quebec and I landed the Big Bazaar. I landed the tour for a year. So I was like, well, I can't go back right now. I need to explore this.
Are you happy with your decision of working here in Quebec?
Well, yeah, because I'm working. And in Los Angeles, in I think it can be really hard also to work, and you don't get access to the big casting directors easily.
Right.
As here, you get access to all of the casting directors that do the big work, you know?
Just before we started the interview, we were speaking about demos. So what do you question yourself about? Let's go there, because you're not the only one questioning yourself about these topics.
What do I want to show? Like, who do I think I am as a performer? What's my casting? So, and what are the videos that I have or, you know, what I can show? So that's what I think about first. What scenes are strong enough for like the demo cut, or what scenes, like if it's just like an actor role and you have one line, maybe it's not worth putting it in your demo, but if it's all that you got, then put it in there. And then the format, like, how do you decide which is the great format for your demo right now in your life? Like, I've done so many demos throughout the years. At some point, I was like, oh, okay, I need to make it quick. And like, so people see a lot of different stuff and they don't get bored. But then out here in Quebec, casting directors tend to want a real scene with not necessarily emotions, because most people can do emotions. Most actors can do it. So sometimes they just want to see like an everyday scene in your demo reel, like where you just have dialogue and like quick dialogue, like in real life. What I was thinking about when I did my demo, and I was like, I've never done the like one scene, one scene, one scene, just different scenes with different energy. So that's what I did this time. Yeah. And so, and all my demos are still available online. So I'm like, if they want to see more, they just Google Isabelle Giroux and they'll see a lot.
It all depends, English and French. They all have something to say.
Yeah.
And strong choices are definitely the way to go. Plus, be proud of your work. I don't think nobody knows what's right and wrong. Just because Isabelle came from LA, where they taught her that a demo was supposed to be a minute and a half max.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And yeah, so my first demo was just like 10 seconds maybe to 15 seconds of several scenes.
Right.
That's not a lot. It just gives you a glimpse of something. Yeah.
Exactly. And here too in English, they use that too on the English side, but they do want to see a one scene where we could see the character or the artist at work in character. So that's exactly what they see. But then some people tend to have 5 minute long, but we don't have 5 minutes to watch every single demo that comes in and out. And first of all, if you captivate me in the first minute, I might want to watch the whole 5 minutes, but make sure that that first minute is
strong. Yeah.
So you didn't find a solution to what is the perfect length for a demo.
I feel like it just depends on who's looking at it, who's watching it. And sometimes, I mean, it's not because you're a bad actor, but the person just doesn't bond with you. Like, yeah, the person who's watching, maybe the director or the casting director will be like, oh, no, that's not what I'm looking for right now. And then they'll just dust it. Even drama and comedy, you can make two demos if you have enough material for it, you know?
Yes, that's very true. Separate your demos. Whatever is drama, keep it drama. And we don't want to mess things around because that one not so strong choice is not going to benefit you if you have one strong scene. And then we see the other thing going, oh, what was this about?
Yeah.
We don't understand. So if we don't, like, I mean, I understand you want to look cute and you want to show everything you have, but it might not be the best thing because we're going to see that, oh, you just had something good, but then you showed us something else.
Yeah, it's really a cliche to think that in your demo reel, you need a scene where you're crying so much and like, you're like, no, you don't need that in your demo reel. Maybe if you have a scene that's sober and you're crying, maybe put it there, or even like do a little montage where we see you crying, but it's not necessary. It's not necessary.
I love it.
c'est pas nécessaire. It's not.
Continue en français. On aime ça, Isabelle. Don't worry about it. C'est pas nécessaire. Mais y a-t-il d'autres difficultés que tu rencontres dans l'industrie où ce que tu es comme je sais pas, you know, that all of you are vibing the same thing.
C'est sûr qu'on est dans une industrie où est-ce que il y a une hiérarchie, tu sais, fait que plus tu travailles, plus on te veut. Fait que ça, je trouve ça difficile des fois d'atteindre la bonne barre, tu sais, to be on the right step of it, of it all.
Do you like the star system that they created here in Quebec?
I mean, it's a better star system than in LA, I guess.
Here is really the same people. There's many more actors in LA.
Yeah, true.
That's what I mean.
I agree with that. Yeah. It's still, people are accessible here. The pond is really small.
Right. So Quebec, open your horizon. There are other talents that you can hire, not always the same people, but they do say that when we hire the same people and they have experience, they get it in one shot. So I understand.
I've been a reader a lot too. And I can see it. Like, I can see it when a person, an actor that works a lot, comes in to audition, like, they're ready.
Yeah.
They are always ready. They're on their toes. Yes, it can look the same as other characters that they've done because they don't have too much time to think about it. But it works. So
what would you tell
everybody? Well, just get over ready. Yes. Over ready. Know your lines from top to bottom, from bottom to top, and just have fun in the room and be ready to get directions. Sometimes it's not about how much you think you're close to the character in your head, but just be ready to go anywhere else if the director asks you. Yeah. So rehearse like that. Just if you think the character is really I don't know, I'll say something, but it's random. Just like really somber and introverted. Try it being extroverted and really comfortable and happy, even if it doesn't fit with the scene, just to make sure that you're open to something else.
Bring choices.
In yes.
And when you leave the room and you're proud of what you did, what do you do? Do you overthink what you did in the audition room, or are you able to let go?
I tend to think about it like right after, but then I let it go until I don't hear from anybody else. Okay. And then I'll call my agent and be like, so have you heard back from this casting director? Because I felt like it was really good. And then we'll see. Yeah, but okay. I try to let it go. I mean, I've been directing in the past couple of years, and also I've been submitting for financing, and I feel like it's harder for me as a director to let go of a project than it is for me as an actress to let go of a role, because like you audition so much. Well, sometimes you audition so much and you don't work as much on your character as you work on your project, you know, if that makes sense. That's what I've been talking with a lot of people. Being a creator of something, like you have to work on it for so many months or year even. And then the industry says, no, we're not going to give you money for that. And so that I feel it's harder to let go. Yeah.
And it's projects that you create and you really deeply believe in it. There is a time and a place where it is going to happen. It's just true. That not everybody makes it to the resilience, you know, like that athlete training that you have to let, you know, finish. Yeah. Even if it takes 10 years, how many times have you heard stories that it took me 10 years and I got there? And I applaud more the process, because those are the non-quitters that make it until the end.
Yeah. What helps me with auditioning is if I know that I did a really good audition, then it's not lost. No matter if I got the role or not, I know that the casting director is going to call me back. That helps me just to let go.
What is it that you really would desire?
I wish I would work more in English.
You want to work more in English?
Yeah, I audition a lot for Kenyan Newells a lot, and I don't seem to book, but I work a lot in French, so I'm like, I'm not miserable about it, but I just wish I would have opportunities to show that I can do it.
So let's put it out in the universe. We want her to work in English on English sets. Let's go, Isabel, you can do it. So that's good. When we verbalize what we want, then we know we manifest it. And obviously people that love you are going to want the same thing. But what can you do to work towards that dream?
Well, right now I just took a workshop with Actra yesterday, and I'm doing a mock audition in front of industry people on Wednesday. Next step would be to maybe shoot scenes in English, because I don't have new material in English, and maybe I want to renew that so that they can see new stuff from me. I should go into mixers and stuff. Yeah, I know.
You need to start connecting, and then people are going to see you and hear about you, then see your work, then see you at work, connecting, building to help you raise your A game. And you know, such a small city here that everything is so possible. But again, you have to go reach for your stars. So whatever it is, go for it. I love her. Okay. Come and play with some English actors. There's a lot of English actors at the studio. You have to come. You're going to love it. Like, how do you feel when you're at your highest? Mm-hmm. And how do you feel when you're at your lowest?
Well, when I'm at my highest, it's when I'm the busiest. When I don't have time to do laundry, that's when I feel the most creative. That's when I feel like I'm on my X, like I'm at the right place. And so when I'm not busy, that's when I'm feeling low and I'm like, how? And then I just think all over everything and I auto-criticize myself and I'm like, what can I do? Work comes and goes. So I don't get too desperate about it. And when you're in your lows, you have time. So manifest more and take care of yourself as well, because when I'm really busy, I don't have so much time to take care of myself, and that's not good. So balance.
How do you take care of yourself?
I really like to go to the spa, and I like binge watching. I do that a lot. I binge watch everything I can binge watch. And that, I think it's really important for actors to, like, not necessarily binge watch, but watch shows, different films from everywhere, from here, from other countries, American, Quebecois, any content that you can put your hand on. Like, it's important. I tend to analyze a lot, like how it's shot, how it's written, how the actors are acting, what their characters are, what kind of characters I would like to play in those shows, like what could I play in those shows as well, because sometimes you want something but you're more towards that other character casting wise. So yeah,
if you want to share something that's in your heart going, if I would have known this, or this is what I do on my everyday that works, is if there's anything to share with us.
I feel like anybody can act. Anybody can do it. You just have to do the work. Do the work, be present, and have fun with it. Don't be nervous about it. Don't get stressed out about it. Because I feel like when you're the most relaxed, that's when it works. Mm-hmm. But you have, for you to be relaxed, you need to work, you know?
Exactly. No, exactly.
And for me, my pet peeve is really learning lines. So if I get that out of the way, then that's marvelous.
We're going to be seeing you in a lot of TV shows coming up.
Well, right now I'm in Les Bracelets Rouges. We're in it right now on TVA. And then there's Mégantic,
yes.
Crave. And I think it's super good, super touching. And Jour de Merde, which is a movie coming out in theater
at all.
March 24th. And we just won a prize. The director won a prize at Rendezvous Québec Cinéma for best first or second feature film. And so, yeah, I'm really happy for him, really happy for the movie. We had a screening at the Rendezvous and it went super good. Like, the people in the room really loved it. So,
and congratulations for being part of it and all the upcoming success stories that you're going to share with your community. So we wish you all the best, Isabelle. It was a joy to speak with you today.
Thank you, Connie.